Hello and welcome to Just a Guy and His Journey Back to God. So today we're in Galatians 4, but before we go to the scripture, let's go to God in prayer. Holy Father, thank you for this day and for watching over us. Thank you for your blessings. You are the creator of all, and yet you've adopted us. We are your children, and we can cry Abba, Father, to you. You're the one who made the world. You gave us the Holy Spirit. You sacrificed yourself on the cross. And yet you love us, you know us, and it's a remarkable, remarkable thing. So I pray, Holy Spirit, for you to guide us today as we read. I pray that you would be the one who speaks, that there be nothing from me and everything from you, and that you would be the one that we listen to throughout the day and throughout this reading. May we submit more and more to you and less to ourselves. May we hear your voice and understand your message so we can grow closer to you, love you with our whole being, and love our neighbors as ourselves. I praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So Galatians 4 is a continuation, at least 4:1 through, I believe, 7, is a continuation from chapter 3. And what I wanted to do, I found a number of sermons and commentaries about this section, about Galatians 4 in general. But they didn't hit home. I mean, they were brilliant, they were great, but they didn't hit home with what I wanted to share or what I was, it just wasn't hitting my heart. So what I thought I'd do is I'd read from the ESV expository commentary about parts of chapter 3 and chapter 4, to kind of give you a sectional overview and what that overview is like about the believers being adopted children of God. So let me just quit rambling here, and before we get into the actual chapter 4, I'm going to read this commentary. Paul has made the case that the Galatians are already, without coming under the Mosaic law, sons and offsprings of Abraham. He made those arguments in chapter 3, verse 7, and verse 29. They are also, as he said in chapter 3, verse 26, sons of God, echoing the biblical theme that Israel, as God's people, were his sons. There is a direct line, Paul argues, linking God's promises to give Abraham many descendants to bless the nations through him and to give his heirs the earth with the Galatians' membership in God's people as Gentiles. They are the numerous descendants, the blessed nations, and the inheritors of the earth that fulfill the Abrahamic promises. God gave the law not to compete with these promises or their fulfillment, but to show that everyone, Jews included, were sinners and in need of faith in Christ. Now in this new section of the argument, Paul will re-explain the main point of Galatians 3, verse 15 through 29, and apply this point specifically to the Galatians situation. He wants to make clear that if they try to turn the clock back to the temporary period when the Mosaic law defined and governed God's people, they are implying that their own conversion had no purpose, and that they are content to labor under the law's curse on the disobedient once again. Their circumstances under the Mosaic law will be no different than their circumstances under the idolatrous religions they followed before their faith in the gospel. So let's go ahead and jump on into chapter 4, verse 1. What I am saying is that as long as an heir is underage, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. The heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were underage, We were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. But now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable forces? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? You are observing special days and months and seasons and years. I fear for you that somehow I have wasted my efforts on you. I plead with you, brothers and sisters, become like me, for I became like you. You did me no wrong. As you know, it was because of an illness that I first preached the gospel to you. And even though my illness was a trial to you, you did not treat me with contempt or scorn. Instead, you welcomed me as if I were an angel of God, as if I were Christ Jesus himself. Where then is your blessing of me now? I can testify that, if you could have done so, you would have torn your eyes out and given them to me. Have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? Those people are zealous to win you over, but for no good. What they want is to alienate you from us so that you may have zeal for them. It is fine to be zealous, provided the purpose is good, and to be so always, not just when I am with you. My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth under Christ, until Christ is formed in you, how I wish that I could be with you now and change my tone, because I am perplexed about you. So basically, obviously, they're backsliding, and they're moving back to either their old religion and incorporating some of that into their lives, or the Jewish law under which they're now also having incorporated into their life. And again, we've already been adopted. Why would we leave the family? Verse 21. Tell me, you want to be under the law? Are you not aware of what the law says? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman and the other by the free woman. This is Hagar and Sarah. His son by the slave woman was born according to the flesh, but his son by the free woman was born as the result of a divine promise. These things are being taken figuratively. The women represent two covenants. One covenant is from Mount Sinai and bears children who are to be slaves. This is Hagar. Now Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem, because she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem that is above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, Be glad, barren woman, you who never bore a child. Shout for joy and cry aloud, you who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband. Now you brothers and sisters, like Isaac, are children of promise. At the time, the son born according to the flesh persecuted the son born by the power of the Spirit. It is the same now. But what does Scripture say? Get rid of the slave woman and her son, for the slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with the free woman's son. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman. Freedom in God and freedom in Christ. Freedom to call God Abba Father, because we've been adopted. Again, going back to the early church, they didn't have the Bible. They didn't have doctrines. They had the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would come before us, come in us, join us, and give us guidance. That was their teacher. Paul would give guidance, and others who understood and would also provide insights. But it wasn't doctrine. It wasn't the law. They weren't under the law. Once Christ came, the law was no more. The law was here to show us what sin was, that we were sinful people. But the law didn't come until 400 years after God had made the promise to Abraham and called him righteous. Now, the law is not for us. It's the Holy Spirit, and it's the gift of Jesus and the adoption into his family. And I'm so grateful for that. So with that, let's go back to God in prayer. Father, thank you for adopting us, for loving us and knowing us. Thank you for the chance to call you Abba Father, Daddy. I'm so grateful that I can come before you and know that you'll hear me. Know that you know me. It's an amazing, amazing situation and thing. So Lord, I just pray as we go about our day today that we would focus on you, that we would fellowship with you throughout the day, that our hearts and our minds and our spirits would be open to you. Holy Spirit, I pray you'd guide us and that we would listen. May our hearts, our minds, and our spirits love you with all that we are. And may we love our neighbor as ourself. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, thanks for joining me at Just a Guy and His Journey Back to God. I hope you have a great day.